Gerald McCoy Show. Now, Buccaneers defensive tackle Gerald McCoy and your host, Scott Ledger.
Beautiful day in Tampa Bay. Welcome in to the Gerald McCoy Show. It is Tuesday night. Time to sit down, big number 93. Good to see you, bro.
What's up, man?
3-1. That's what's up.
Hey, I think we are 3-1.
It's got to feel pretty good. Yeah. Give me your overall thoughts on that, just coming into it.
Oh, that's great, man. It's so rare to get a win in this league. It's so hard to get a win in this league and to have a team as young as we do and with little expectation from a lot of people. Didn't expect much from us this year, but we knew what we could do, and we know what we can do. So it's good to be as young as we are and start out like we're doing.
I made the analogy. You weren't here for this last year, but towards the end of last year, people would call the talk show after the game was over, and I would say, you ever watch a cruise ship turn around? It takes a while. You know, it takes a while to change the direction of any franchise, and last year was the beginning of that change, and now towards the end of last year, Raheem Morris wins two of his last three ball games, comes in, he's won three of his first four here, so your head coach is 5-2 in his last seven games, and I know, like I said, you weren't here for that latter part of last year, but there's a momentum shift happening. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and predict how the rest of the season pans out. But I think a lot of fans are starting to really – I don't like to use the word buy into it, because buy-in makes it sound like you're trying to sell something. Just get where this team and this franchise is at, the direction of the ownership on down. We're rebuilding. And there just seems to be a tremendous chemistry. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because you played a team last week full of superstars. Lots of money.
Definitely.
Lots of guys. That, you know, and
Batman and Robin.
It seemed to me like that football team didn't have the same chemistry that you guys have. I don't want to put you out there, but that's,
no,
you know.
I mean, it's one of those things where we're starting to grow closer as a team. We're coming together as a collective unit. We know we have to do this. If we're going to do this, we have to do it together. We have to do it as a team, as a family. There's not any individuals on this team. We play together for 60 minutes. And to win this last game, we had to play for 60 minutes, yeah. Literally, because it went down to the wire.
Final, yes. 90 seconds was an entire game.
Right.
But let's go back real quick to the beginning. They come in with a no huddle, and you force some punts. By the way, I had to ask you about the pink cleats. It's great to see everybody out there with the breast cancer awareness. Did you get to pick what you want to wear? Do they tell you? Do they suggest?
Nike provides certain items for you to wear, and I picked the armbands and the chin strap and the cleats this week. I think I'm going to have the hand tape. You know, I wrapped my hands in the black tape this week. I think it's going to be pink.
And mix it up.
Yeah, so, you know, any way I can support, I will.
You guys, Terrell Owens gets a paycheck too. By the way, Terrell Owens has 146 touchdowns in this league. For anybody that thinks that, you know, this guy's not occasionally going to get open and make a big play, you know, there's a reason Terrell Owens has been in the league for, 15 years. He's going to score some touchdowns. We do. And then we'll go back to the Steeler game, how Cody had to come in as a young guy and have to, you know, go into that baptism by fire. You hear that all the time. But that must have been pretty nice to have them backed up on their own five and just get that pick six going the other way.
Yeah.
Right back in the game, you know.
That kind of reaffirms what I was saying last week about how good Cody Grimm is and how well he played against the Steelers. I mean, all everybody remembers is that first touchdown. But people didn't really watch the game. And then he comes back the next week with a pick six and nine tackles, I think. 9 or 11 tackles, something like that. A lot of big plays for us. And, you know, that's what I was trying to explain last time on the show, how really good he is.
Yeah, he's got those great instincts. He made some great open field tackles. You know, the kind of things where you shoot your gun, you're either going to make it, you're the player, you don't.
Right.
And he's been very consistent in
wrapping
guys up. Absolutely. He's just a great open field tackler. That's what you want. You guys get kind of backed up. Ernest Graham, I want you to talk about that. I just want to kind of, you know, we're hitting around to some of the bigger plays as we lead into that fourth quarter, which pretty much you guys took over. But Ernest Graham busting you out on the 1 yard line, that was big, too. That was a big play.
EG is what we call him. You always got one of those players or one of those guys on each team that shows up in each game in a different way, in his own way. And Ernest Graham is that guy. I mean, we were backed up. I'm not sure what yard line we were on. But
one
yard line, and he broke a huge one. Yeah. What was it?
61 yards.
61 yards? Yeah. I mean, he broke it. I mean, it isn't like the hole was just huge. The hole was big. But the rest of it was him, and he's just a great player for us. he always does something. He always shows up in each game.
Great team leader. You guys unfortunately didn't get a touchdown there because there was a pick. Mike Williams catches the ball, and there's a pick later on. Or Josh throws that rainbow, and then the DB kind of breaks off of one guy and makes a good play on the ball. You guys are back on defense again. Check this out. I'm looking at Carson Palmer. It's third down. You guys were awesome on pass rush on third down, by the way. And I'm looking at you coming right at him. Styles G. White's coming around from the side. He steps to his left about 1 foot. And you, I think you cleaned Styles' clock by accident.
Yeah, I did hit Styles. And yeah. He gave me a hard time about that. And,
he's laying on the ground like, what happened?
Hey, I was trying to make the play for the team. And what makes it so bad is – I actually had Carson wrapped up, and I hit his arm. Our coaches always talk about us being ball aware. So I seen the ball, and I tried to grab his arm, knock the ball out, and wrap him up. But I hit his arm. Somehow he took the ball out of this hand, out of his right hand, and put it in his left. And that hand fell. But he was still holding the ball, then he just, like, flicked it out and tried to – throw it out and threw it right to Quincy.
Yes, yeah, right in his belly. Hit him.
Right.
Quincy jumped up, hit him right in the belly.
Quincy's, I mean, so athletic, he jumped too high. He hit him in the stomach, you know.
That was a nice play. That third down play that we're starting to see from the D-line, but we're, you know, you didn't see the Bucs play D under Monty Kiffin. It was not just a bend but don't break, but it was real. It wasn't fancy. It was always keep a cone, rush to the tackler, wrap a guy up, bring the second hat, try to get the strip, don't give up the big play. And they would give up yardage, but they wouldn't give up touchdowns. Now, I don't know where the pressure's coming from. It's a very fun defense to watch.
Yeah.
There was a play you guys – none of you guys had your hand on the ground in one play. None of you. We're just standing around, running around.
Yeah, that's
– You like that?
That's something that Coach Morris does, man. And I try to tell people every week, he has a great plan. And he's a magnificent coordinator, and the coaches come together. All our defensive coaches are great, and they come together collectively just like we did as a team. Mm-hmm. And they always give us a great game plan, and it's working. It's working.
Gerald McCoy Show, he wants to talk to you. You're the big Buck fan. You got something to say, a comment. Doesn't matter. Your team's 3-1. You can talk about the New Orleans Saints. You can look back to the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get to several open lines right now. Hillsborough at 813-990-4620. That's two open lines there. Pinellas, we have an open line. It's 727-461-4620 and 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll take your phone calls all hour long. The defense, you know, since he's up 10-7, the Bucs find a way to come back and make a big play. Leon Hall kind of mugs Mike Williams in the end zone. We get a first and goal, and you just talked about EG. Nice little play there. Roy Miller in on the block. It looked like Ernest looked like a linebacker came in and blew up the blocker. Ernest kind of hurdles him and scores the touchdown reaching over, and next thing you know, you guys have a lead on the road. Where were you at right then and there?
Well, then it was in our hands. Like I said, we play collectively, but each side has to do their part. And with the offense going to score, they put it in our hands. And that's what I was thinking at that point. Okay, the offense, they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing what we expect. We're not surprised that we're up right now. Now let's just keep it that way.
Cedric Benson, pretty good back, huh?
He is. He really is. And it was fun to play against him because I watched him play in college at Texas. And, you know, I finally had a chance to get to play against him. He's real good, man. He is. I didn't think he was as shifty as he is. I thought he was more of a power runner, but he's real shifty.
Yeah,
he definitely is.
He's got some toot to him, and he gets him close enough. But then Kyle Moore, another again, you know, the third down pass rush, Kyle Moore and Tim Crowder kind of meet at the quarterback. That was another great play a little later on. And they're forcing a field goal. People kept talking about the heat, some of the camera angles they would show, the heat coming off. What kind of turf was it, and was it hot there?
It was extremely hot.
What was that?
Coach Moore said we brought Tampa with us. It was kind of what it was, and it was a hot day. But for us, we're used to it. We practice in that. It was nothing new to us. It wasn't grass out there. It was field turf. It was kind of that turf where your feet can kind of get stuck in it.
The little rubbery things or no?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was.
You ever get those in your eye? I always want to ask a player that. They always seem to fly around when you guys are down on the ground. None of that stuff ever pops up?
No, you get it all in your socks and your cleats and all on your pants. And, you know, you get it everywhere, but I've never had any get in my eye or my face.
Actually, we're still up 14-3 at this point. Michael Spurlock, unfortunately, he'll be the hero later, but he coughs up a ball and a questionable fumble on it on a kick return. It looked like he was down by contact. Seems to me the refs are, you know, I don't want to get in, have FedEx visit you guys, but there would be some inconsistencies in what causes a fumble. Can the ground cause a fumble? Was he contacted? Perfect example, Sammy Strotter makes a catch earlier in the game, doesn't get touched, gets up and runs with the ball. Well, that means he was never down by contact. Right. Michael Spurlock trips over a Cincinnati player. He's been touched by him. He hits the ground. The ball comes up. Suddenly it's a fumble.
I mean, hey, the refs made the call that they made.
Don't get fined.
The refs made the call that they made, and that's what it was. But the game always doesn't go as planned, and there's always something that happens in the game where you got to make adjustments. And coach calls a sudden change where – you know, the offense is up, and all of a sudden, okay, the defense is up. A sudden change. You got to be ready at any time.
You guys run drills like that all the time, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, we do that. We prepare for that.
Run to the sideline. You're just about ready to take your helm off, and they blow a whistle. There's been a turnover, and you're running right back on. All right, so, you know, they're up by 21-14 at this point. We start coming into that fourth quarter, and Freeman, the Winslow. I don't think I've seen Kellen. Have you seen Kellen Winslow drop a pass this year? I mean, drop a pass? I don't think
no,
I've seen
him. I mean, the only pass I've seen him drop, it was like he went for a one-handed catch.
That don't count. I'm talking. Yeah. I'm just talking, you know, crossing pattern.
No, I haven't.
He has been Mr. Third Down for this football team. He's been Mr. Second Down. He's been physical. He's been acrobatic. And he has really been a guy that Josh Freeman, as a young quarterback, is looking to. A little back shoulder throw to Mike Williams. That's a great combination.
Yeah, Mike, man. Mike is really the man. That's what I call him all the time. I'm like, Mike, you know, you the man. He's really good, man. He somehow finds a way to get open, and even if he's not open, he finds a way to make the catch all the time.
What do you think causes that? I mean, you're right. I mean, if you look at that film from the other day, well, the touchdown catch I'll get to in just a second. He had two guys on him. He makes another catch going down the middle with a man covered. He almost had another touchdown catch earlier, and they had some good DBs breaking up plays. But is that just something you're born with, you think?
Yeah, that you can't coach that. That's just pure talent. I mean, that's a blessing from God to be able to do stuff like that.
So he catches a touchdown pass, 21-21 apiece.
Yeah.
Then things get real interesting. This is a team, the Cincinnati Bengals, that was running the ball pretty darn effectively.
Right.
They decide on third down. They could keep the clock running. I could, you know, make you burn your last time out what you had. They decided to throw the ball, tip pass, intercepted by Aqib Talib. This defense, 9 interceptions this year, by the way. 9 interceptions so far. On a pace to break the team record. Bend but don't break, I hear this all the time. What is the chemistry? How do you think that happens? How do you think this football team, even though they're giving up yardage, and you guys done it in almost every game, you've given up some yardage, but you're finding ways to make plays crunch time. I'll use that expression. You guys seem to be really paying off in crunch time.
The philosophy is this defense is score, get the ball back. That's the philosophy of our defense. Score, get the ball back. And what we've been doing is getting the ball back. I mean, 9 interceptions, and that's just the interceptions. I think we've recovered some fumbles.
5.
2. 5. We've recovered 5.
Yep. Yes.
I mean, that's what our defense is supposed to be about, and that's what we're built off of, is scoring and getting the ball back. Well, I mean, 9 interceptions, 5 fumble recoveries, that's getting the ball back, and that gives our offense a chance. And that's just by, you know, that starts with our head coach and his, you know, what he sees in us and his vision. And that's all about us playing fast. He always tells us to play fast, play smart, play hard, play consistent. And that's what we've been doing.
That is Gerald McCoy. This is the Gerald McCoy Show. 1-800-596-BUCKS, 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a 3-1 football team getting ready to take on the New Orleans Saints. We'll get to that exciting finish. Start taking your phone calls when we come back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
To the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, we're getting callers starting to load up on our phone line. Still got an open line in Hillsborough, 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll get to Mark and Danny coming to you guys right away. But, yeah, Tlaib gets us a pick. We turn it into a touchdown. And then, again, this time around, you know, Savvy Piscatelli, who had to sit on the bench, if you will, and let someone else take that starting position from him, realize, like you always say, like everybody always says, you're one play away from starting in this league.
Always.
Always. And Sean Jones ends up with back spasms basically after the first play of the game. Savvy comes in and plays the entire football game and gets the pick at the end. 14 seconds left on the clock. Freeman to Spurlock. Were you sometimes you guys are tired. I'll look and I'll see the D-line kind of sitting on benches, regenerating, getting a Gatorade. But are you watching the big TV? Are you peeking through the, you know, where are you watching that game from when we got the ball with 14 seconds left?
I was sitting down.
Yeah, okay.
I was watching. It was easier. You can just see everything walking around, standing up. You got to look around people. But I was sitting down watching on the screen, and when Locke caught that ball, I said, man, did he catch that? I'm not sure. Did I look? I said, no, he caught. Man, that was a great catch. And once we had it in our minds that he caught it, we knew we had it because we have a great kicker.
That was a 20-yard out. The pass that Roethlisberger threw for the final touchdown in the Super Bowl was like where only the receiver could catch it. DBs had no way going it. And then Michael Spurlock said in the media after the fact that actually is a practice play. We practice that play all the time. He says it gets so boring. But Josh Freeman put that sucker on a dime. I mean, that was like the type of throw that, you know, the Mannings make, you know, the Breezes make, the Bradys make. Obviously, I just mentioned Roethlisberger. That was pretty darn impressive. And Spurlock's catch on the other side was magical. But just the throw itself was pretty tight.
No, that lets you know how Josh Freeman is maturing as a player and how much better he's gotten from last year to this year. And now people are finally starting to see what I've been saying about how good this guy really is. They haven't had a chance to see it, but now they're starting to see it. I mean, he's really good. And it's starting to come alive. And we're going to keep putting it together.
Connor Barthrod's out there. You've seen Connor's mustache. Some people have been commenting on his mustache.
Oh, the stash.
It's kind of like that barrelhead root beer, it's like old-fashioned, like a handlebar mustache.
It's nice, though. I like it.
You like it.
He said he was going to dye it pink.
Yeah, that'll look good. He kicks the field goal. There's still a second left. They tried the Stanford play. Were you watching? No, you weren't on kick coverage. That was like linebackers and safeties out there.
No, I wasn't. Yeah. I was watching.
Lots of small guys that can run around and chase a football for 15 seconds while they try to pull one out. So you know, we go through that drama. You're walking off the field. You're part of a 3-1 ball game, and Danny and Mark were coming right to you. I kind of want to get your final thoughts on how quick a turnaround was that for you. Have you ever won a game that quickly and turned it around with a 10-point differential with, 90 seconds, basically, in 90 seconds? Has that ever happened to you before?
No.
So?
No.
How'd that feel?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great, man. But that's the whole thing with Coach Moore saying we got to play 60 minutes. I mean, the game wasn't over. A lot of people started to leave. Oh, we got this one in a bag. And no, it's not over till it says zero. And that's just us coming together as a team, as a family, and finishing the game.
That is big number 93, Gerald McCoy. It's the Gerald McCoy Show. I'm Ledge, Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, it's 727-461-4620 and 1-800-596-BUCKS. Mark, you're on deck. We're going to Danny T first. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Danny's doing some daddy duties.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, I have a question on the Spurlock fumble. There was a whistle. I listened to it live, and then I have DVR, so I rewound it a few times. And you could hear the refs blow a whistle right after he fumbled. And normally, that play is not reviewable.
Sure. You always hear that.
You know?
With the inadvertent whistle.
Well, how come, what was different, you know, this time? I mean, ultimately, you know, winning the game, so it didn't matter, but that could have been a huge play at the time. I'll hang up and hear your answer to that.
Okay, you know, my answer is I don't have an answer. There's been a lot of inconsistencies, and that's what I was talking about earlier. I'm not going to let Gerald get the FedEx file, fax machine, sending him a fine. But a perfect example, Josh Freeman gets pushed out of the pocket. He wasn't even down. Suddenly there's a whistle, and he's down by contact. Later on, in the next drive, he's driving, throws the ball away, takes a cheap shot, gets knocked to the ground, and there's no late flag on the play. So to sit there and say that the NFL officials are doing a great job of being very consistent, I don't know if I could say that. I'd say different crews call different plays different ways, and an inadvertent whistle usually just means, you know, I've seen coaches running up and down the sidelines getting mad at refs, and they say, hey, we blew the whistle, there's nothing you can do about it. But apparently that didn't happen. Cincinnati turned it into points, but we turned it into something else. All right, congratulations on a great, great game. Now, you guys have the New Orleans Saints coming up. And, Mike, let's go to Mark. Let's go to Mark. He's been standing by. Mark, you're up next.
All right.
You there, Mark?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing good.
I got two quick questions for Gerald. First one, not just the coaching, but the atmosphere in the stadium. How does it compare to college?
It just all depends. Fans are fans, and fans are going to get loud. It's a little different in college because you have, you know, like your college game days and a lot of different things building up, and then you have the band that helps, and it's just a little different type of feel. One thing that didn't happen in college that happens in the NFL, though, we get introductions. In college, everybody just runs out as a team, but the band is playing in the NFL. You know, you get your music going and you get your personal introduction. So that's a lot of fun. So it's just kind of different.
All right. My second question. I'm the kind of guy that likes to collect, like, the trading cards. And I was just wondering how it feels to be, you know, on one of those cards that kids just open up and have a good time on.
Oh, it's great. As a
kid,
I wasn't.
Did you do a photo session?
Yeah.
What are those like?
We actually did those card photos at the rookie premiere, and actually Aurelius Ben and Mike Williams was there with me, and it was a lot of fun, man. You got to be there with, let's see, about 15 other rookies, I guess I want to say, and then we got to go out there and do action photos and a lot of different things. It was a Heisman pose?
What do you mean by action photos? What do you mean?
They did different drills, like you would run up the field and cut off a cone and they would snap the picture. Or like Mike or Sam or Tebow, they would throw them the ball and they'd have a picture of them catching it, or they'd have a picture of Sam throwing it. It just all depends on what position you were. They had us doing different things and they would snap pictures of it. It's a lot of fun, man. You get to see yourself on a card, and people ask you to sign it, man. Growing up, I had those, and it's kind of cool to see myself. I didn't actually collect certain ones, but when I had a pack, I always kept it. I mean, when I would see it, I said, hey, I'm going to keep this because these are professionals.
Did you ever chew the gum? Gum is really rough.
I didn't
usually
really,
is.
Didn't really touch the gum.
It's like cardboard.
Yeah, the gum was kind of nasty.
They're not known for gum.
Right.
Do you get a piece of that action or no? I mean, your face is on a card. Someone's making money off of there somewhere. Is there a little Gerald McCoy coin purse that says?
It's great just being on the card.
Yeah. Do your friends from high school and stuff, when you go back home, they just show you your face on the card and kind of tease you a little bit. Are you him? Can you sign my card?
You know who this guy is? And I was like, yeah. I met him a few times.
Yeah. Let's get back to your physical side. How you holding up? How's everything feel? How many snaps you getting per game?
Feels good.
Yeah.
Not really beat up. Played a lot of snaps this last game. I think we had 68 total. I played 61. I'm just kind of used to that type of thing. Of course, on game day, you kind of get tired out there, so you got to ask your coach, you know, hey, coach, I might need a few plays off this series, and he'll get you out. But I'm used to playing a lot of snaps and having a lot of fun doing it. Body feels good and body's holding up.
A lot of guys play tired and they seem to play better. Running backs are known for that because they don't think as much. They're more reactionary.
Right.
Do you notice any different when you get a little bit more fatigued? Do you play better or worse?
Well, you do. Your focus level has to go up when you're tired because when you're tired, it's so easy to forget something because all you can feel is, oh, I'm out of breath. Oh, I'm tired. And you forget certain keys that you have to read or certain plays that the coaches just put in with game day adjustments. So your focus level has to go up once you're more tired.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers have 9 interceptions. Opponents have 3. Score and get the ball back is what this football team's defense has been all about. But now with 4 games, you've played Cleveland, Carolina, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati. You have played 4 offensive lines in the NFL. I'm sure it's a little bit different than your college days.
It is. And, the offensive line in the NFL, a lot different. They block things a lot of different ways. In college, it was kind of like the same thing. You knew if you were playing this type of team, that's just what you were going to get. On the NFL, you play certain teams, and that's the offense that they run, but there's different types of players. There's a lot of different veteran moves that people use, and just a lot of things. You have to make game day adjustments, too. Just because you watch film and you've studied this guy over and over, he studied you, too. And he knows what you do just like you know what he does. And being a rookie, it's a little different making an adjustment to a veteran who's been in the league, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, who knows how to make game day adjustments, whereas I still have to learn how to do
those
types
of things. You're getting
most of
that on the bench, when you're going off the field and you're talking to your D-line coach. Give me an example of one of those conversations. Let's say you and Bennett and Crowder are all sitting around, because we see them on television. We don't mm-hmm. get to hear the audio of what's being said over there. But what is that like, let's say, in the adjustments of adjusting to a running back who's making some big gains?
Well,
what's that like at the sideline?
Just being in a 7-man front, an 8-man front helps you more on the run. Being in a 7-man front, the defensive line has to make more plays, and we went to a 7-man front a lot in this game. So our coach would tell us, you guys got to hold up now. You have to stay in there longer. The double teams are going to stay on you longer. Different things like that. One thing that happened with Cincinnati is my coach started to notice that they were pointing me out wherever I was at, and they would slide the protection to me, and he pointed that out. And I said, Coach, when I'm out there, they keep pointing me out and saying, he's right there.
Like they're pointing out a Mike linebacker.
Right.
Like,
they would point at me and say,
sure.
He's here. There he is. You see him? And they would slide the protection to me.
Which is usually a double team.
Right. Okay. That's usually what that is. So then, Coach, we have the calls we call out where a certain player gets a one-on-one. Well, instead of it being me, we have to switch it to the other side because now they're sliding a double team to me, so the other side has to get the one-on-one. So you just got to make game day adjustments like that.
We've seen Cody. I saw Rondé. Like I said, I want to talk a little bit about that because, again, Bucs fans aren't used to seeing all our defensive linemen standing up before the snap, guys walking around each other, safeties coming up near the line of scrimmage, people dropping back. Like you said, I saw Cody and Sabby in some deep shell covers, so
right.
the middle was open, probably a little bit easier to run the ball. But this defense doesn't seem predicated on just the basic cover two. I mean, I saw Rondé come on blitzes, Cody Grimm come on blitzes. You guys get – fans get excited about it. I can't think that
right.
you guys get excited about it. But we have a tendency to say, wow, this is a different coach, a different philosophy, and this is different kind of buckball than we're used to seeing.
Right, and that's just all Coach Morris, man. Like I said, he's a great defensive coordinator, has a great vision, and is working. We're buying into it, and we believe in his plan and his vision, and we play according to the defense. You have to be a playmaker within the scheme of the defense, and that's what we're doing. And you're seeing guys step up, a different guy each week.
Before we went on the air, Jeff Ryan, our producer here of the Buccaneers Radio Network, made a reference to your dad. So I take it your dad was out at that game.
He was.
Was at the Cincy game. Is he traveling with you? Is he showing up? How's that?
Yeah, he is. My father hasn't missed a football game of mine until this year, actually. And the only reason he missed it is because his mother passed away. So he missed 2 weeks. But after that, he's been at each game. So, he'll be here this week, be there next week.
You look up in the stands, know where he's at, or you just see him at the hotel?
At OU, I used to find him, and I knew where he was at. I haven't really found him yet here. I know where he's at in home games. I didn't find him in the away games. But I always see him when we get off the bus, when we first arrive. I go see him the night before the game. I try and see him the morning of the game. And, of course, right after.
So. A lot of strength from him. Well, you're a very family-oriented guy. So You talk
me
about
and my father real sure. close.
And yeah. Does he critique things, or is he just kind of more like patting you on the back like your basic dad? Don't worry, go get him, Junior, that kind of stuff.
No, he does both.
Yeah?
He does.
Is he like Sap? Does he get real critical? Like Sap gets?
I mean, he gets critical. He can't get like Sap because he doesn't know the game like Sap does. But, you know, sometimes he can say, well, gee, maybe you should try this. Maybe this happens. Maybe you should do this. And I'm like, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, but
I was just going to say that.
That's my pop. So I always make him feel like he knows what he's doing.
Dad, I respectfully disagree.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that. Pops, I'm going to try that. And I leave the room. Yeah, man, you don't know what he's talking about. You know, one of those things.
How about anybody else in the family? They got any tips for you on third down and long?
No. My sister just, go hard. Just go hard. Go get him. That's everybody's advice. You know, that's everybody's best pass rush move. Go get him.
See,
okay.
See ball, get ball.
Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm going to tell my coach about that move. Go get him.
As Gerald McCoy, get on the phone lines and talk to him about his dad's pass rush moves. 813-990-4620. Pinellas 727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. Yeah, of course, a great day, a great weekend in Tampa Bay sports. Bucks moved to 3-1. And, of course, our brothers across the bay still in it for a big game 5 tonight. So the Tampa Bay area is all excited about several. Actually, in the Lightning even won on Saturday night. So quite a weekend for Tampa Bay sports fans. We'll come back and do the second half of the Gerald McCoy Show. Don't forget, hey, by the way, Aqib Talib, the man who's got 3 picks in the last 3 games and leads the team in interceptions, will sit down with us tomorrow night. Also, we mentioned Cody Grimm. We'll have him on Friday night's Total Access. So make sure you're with us all weekend right here, all week long, right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Gerald McCoy Show on your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
Welcome back to the Gerald McCoy Show. Tuesday night. Remember, every Tuesday night we sit down with number 93 and talk about the Buccaneers 3-1 at the end of the first quarter, if you will, of the season. Getting ready for a big game, and we'll talk to Danny. He wants to talk about that New Orleans Saints game. Rob, stand by. You're on hold. Also got some open lines, 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. Let's go to Dan in Tampa. Appreciate your phone call. Danny, you're up.
Hey, how are you guys today? Rocking on?
All right.
All right. I just want to comment and say my wife and I have been Buccaneer fans forever, and this is her first game she's ever gone to. Can there be a bigger game for her to go to this year?
Saints. Yeah.
Oh, the Saints?
Yep, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great one, man. She's going to have a blast. We're going to make sure we put on a show for her.
I'm sure you will, and I appreciate all your hard work you put out there.
No problem. Thank you.
Third and long. We got to see Drew Brees in third and long all day.
Hey, we ready for it, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Rob in Tampa. You're up next on the Gerald McCoy Show.
Hey, Gerald. Congratulations on that big win this past weekend.
Hey, Rob. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Hey, no problem. Hey, you know, I called, sort of driven to call, because, you know, one of my favorite Bucks of all time has been Derek Brooks, and one reason is what he brings to the field, you know, the good influence he brings to the team, the leadership, and, you know, and being able to play a position in such a aggressive manner on the field, but when it came off the field, he was one of those stand-up individuals that could be out there, and you know, I've been real excited about you coming to the team. I've been looking for a new jersey to buy ever since the Brooks is no longer here. I think it's going to be yours, and it comes from that. And so, you know, I hope to see you in this team for a long time, and I hope you keep up that real stand-up, that family-oriented approach throughout your career and throughout your life. So thanks for bringing that leadership, and I really appreciate having you.
Well, I appreciate you, Rob, man. You don't get to hear things like that much from fans or people in general, whether they're a fan or not. You don't really hear too many nice things for the right reason, so I really appreciate that.
One of these days you're going to be walking in Publix locally and you're going to just be minding your business down the juice aisle and some lady's going to be wearing a Gerald McCoy shirt. You know. You're going to walk up and say hi?
No, I'm going to keep walking.
John in Spring Hill, you're up next with the wisecracker.
Hey, how's it going, Gerald McCoy?
Hey, what's up?
First thing, I wanted to congratulate you guys on the 3-1. It's real nice to see 3 in the win and 1 in the loss. You know, that's much better than, 0-4. But, you know, I really wanted to say, man, I appreciate listening, you know, like the other guy just said, listening to your show every week because I like how you preach about family and stuff like that. My wife and I are getting ready to have a kid, and, you know, that's how I want things to be at our house. But my football question for you is, you know, it seemed like Cincinnati had a pretty good it seemed like they were running the ball pretty good last week. You know, not great because we got the win and they didn't. But more so than passing, they were running the ball a little pretty good. And now with the Saints, we don't have to worry about that as much because it's Drew Brees and them. So, you know, are you guys worried about them maybe, you know, everybody focuses on Brees and maybe Corey Ivory or maybe Pierre Thomas comes back and kind of sneaks up on you guys?
Well, no, you have to focus on it all. And being in a Tampa 2 defense, you're going to give up some yards on the run. We're working on improving on run game defense each week. But this week, man, of course, you got to focus on Drew Brees, man. Super Bowl MVP, great player. You know what he could do. But there's a whole team, and you focus too much on one thing, and another side of it can sneak up on you. So we have to be prepared for it all. And, you know, we'll be ready.
You can
be ready to roll.
Knocking them down, I think, is key.
Right.
You know, a lot of times we talk about sacks, but quarterback pressures, knocking him down enough. And I think Tom Brady lost the Super Bowl, it's because he got knocked down a lot.
Right.
Is there four-man, five-man, six-man, seven-man rush, doesn't matter how many people you send to Drew Brees, I think the bottom line is knock him down.
Yeah, we got to get him down, man. Drew Brees' pocket presence is amazing. It's on another level, and his footwork is just, you know, second to none, and he always makes the big play. We have to limit that, and we have to, you know, squeeze down on the pocket and keep him uncomfortable. And we're prepared to do that. Different mindset for this week. We know what we're facing. We're facing the Super Bowl champs. And it's always fun to play against a team like that.
Bucks aren't just 3-1. They're 2-0 already on the road. It's tough enough to get a win in this league. Even tougher to get road wins. Back-to-back road wins is a way to really, really gauge your team. But the bottom line is, if you want to make the playoffs, you got to win your home games. You got to win the majority of your home games. And that's what this team has got to get done this week. No bigger statement than the Super Bowl champs coming into your house. And you don't want them getting up early. Because that's when things can get ugly.
Right.
You know, that's a 14-point lead, 21-point lead, and you're playing from behind. So, you know, what's the strategy going in is basically don't give up the big play, I would imagine.
Yeah, you never want to give up the big play. We don't really have the coaches really haven't given us our game plan yet. But like I said, you know the weapons they have. And it all starts with quarterback. Drew Brees is an amazing player. And if we can limit his opportunities and keep him uncomfortable, then that could change the whole game.
We're going to go back to the phones. We got two open lines. Hillsborough 813-990-4620. Pinellas 727-4620. I believe it's Ethan. Ethan is up next on the Gerald McCoy Show. Welcome to the program, Ethan.
Evening, gentlemen. Gerald, real a lot of fun watching you all fly around again, seeing the defense come back the way they have.
Thanks,
really
Ethan.
Have a good time with it.
Appreciate that.
Got a question for you, sir.
Okay.
Other than your father and any other family members, who's been your biggest influence on your work ethic that, you know, got you to play at NFL level and strive for the rest of your life and how to get it going?
Well, it's kind of one of those things where it's a collective effort from a lot of different people.
It was a couple
you just
names.
See,
couple
yeah.
names off the top of your head? The high school coach, college coach, anybody?
Well, I mean, the stage you're at, in your life, you see certain people and how they work and how they got there, and you just keep it rolling. One person that I always tried to work out like, because I used to watch him work out all the time, with the NFL films, was Walter Payton. You would see him run the hills by himself.
Dragging tires.
Right, doing a whole bunch of things, but you always seen him do it by himself. And same thing with Barry Sanders. I don't play those guys' positions, but you've seen how they worked. And most of the time you've seen them doing it, they were by themselves. So always that by watching that, I've seen that you have to be self-motivated. You can't always depend on somebody else to do it with you. You can't always depend on somebody else to do it for you. You have to do it on your own. And if somebody else has to motivate you, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. I mean, you should have that much passion and love for what you do that you motivate yourself to get it done. And that's just kind of what I did.
Was that ethic there at Oklahoma?
It was. It was there before Oklahoma. I was, you know, growing up, I was a chubby guy. And I think my freshman year in high school, I was like 315. that's more than I weigh now. And my father told me one day, my sophomore year, if you think about going to college, you know, you're going to have to change the way you look. You have to get in better shape. And I never thought about going to college. I was just playing football because I love playing it. I didn't even think about the next level. I watched Tommy Harris, but I never thought about, you know, oh, I want to go to OU.
Gotcha.
I just played football. But once I got it in my mind, that's what I want to do. I lost 50 pounds in the summer. Yeah, so, I mean, that's just me working hard. And I did it on my own. I was always at school by myself, always working out by myself. I had, you know, one guy who would go with me, and he's kind of like my part of my second family. I would call him, wake him up, say, hey, look, I'm going to work out. Will you come with me? And he always would. But a lot of the time I was at home by myself in the garage with, you know, 25-pound dumbbells, doing what I could, just trying to change the way I looked, because I knew I wanted to get in better shape. And that was just me being self-motivated. And like I said, I watched those Walter Payton videos, and I would see him run those hills. So I found a hill. It wasn't as big as his, but, hey, I was running it.
They got big hills in Oklahoma. They don't have big hills in Oklahoma.
No.
Little ones.
Yeah.
It's just a longer run.
Right, it is.
You're not going as steep. All right, let's head back to Lando Lakes. Our next caller is Jay. You are on with Gerald McCoy.
Hey, Gerald. How you doing this evening, man?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, listen, you just played a big, talented team, and you got another huge, huge, talented team coming up. My question is, say, if you were talking to some high school football players or junior high football players, regardless of talent, how much the fundamentals play in what you're doing and how you succeed? And I'll hang up and I'll listen, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Jay. Fundamentals are key. Technique is huge in the position I play, and it's just in this game, especially at this level, technique is so key. You always wonder how guys could be in the league for, you know, 10 to 15 years, and you got these young lions come in who are so much more athletic. Their bodies hold
stronger,
up longer.
Faster.
Right. It's not about that. I mean, a lot of people are talented. It's how well are you at the technique. A lot of guys play so long because they just know, like receivers, there's a lot of guys who are faster, you know, than T.O.
Sure.
But he knows how to get open. He knows what he's doing. There's a technique to playing his position. There's a technique to playing D-line. There's a technique to playing any position you play in this game. And that's just how it is.
Steve Largent.
Yeah.
They just say Steve Largent. Everybody knows that Steve Largent was probably one of the slowest guys to ever play wide receiver, but somehow he ended up in the Hall of Fame.
Right, and it's just basic fundamentals that you stay, you know, your fundamental beliefs. That's what our coach calls them, fundamental core beliefs. You got to stick to them. And that's just your basic technique, and you got to play it, and you play your technique, and then you tie your athletic ability into that and your playmaking ability, and that's how you stay in this league for a long time.
Are you satisfied with your pad level right now?
No, I could play with better pad level. My coach talked about that this last game, and that's something I've always had to work on because I'm so tall.
You're 6'4", yeah.
I mean, I'm 6'4", almost 6'5", and it's harder to play as low because I'm so tall.
Center of gravity.
Right, and I just have to realize that I am tall and I need to play lower. That's always been something that I've had to work on, and I'm continually working on, and I have to keep that in mind when I come off the ball. Okay, look, you can come off the ball, but it's kind of like an airplane. You know, you want to come off an airplane, stays low, but then it just gradually gets higher. That's how you can play, but you start off low.
You don't want to come up too quick.
Right, you don't
want to
come up too quick, and you don't want to stay flat because the offensive, you know, the vet moves I'm learning in this league, they'll just pull you to the ground. And they're not going to call it as holding. They're not going to. It's the NFL. Why would you call it as holding? We all grown men here. Let's play football. So, I mean, there's a lot of things I'm gradually working on and getting better at each week. And I watch a film on the guys that do it the right way, and I just try and improve on it.
Is it something you can practice? You'll see some of the D-line drills that you guys run with the big pads and different things. Is that more for speed and agility, or is about pad level as well?
Yeah, it's pad level too, and learning how to lean. And actually, to get better at that, I watched Sapp do it. He has some old tape on when he did it, and I watched him do it. And, you know, I try and mimic how he did it because, I mean, let's be honest, if there is anybody better, I mean, it's hard. I mean, he's arguably the best at his position ever. So, I mean, why not watch how he did it?
Got that right. There's a good teacher for you.
Yeah.
Amen to that. John in Tampa, you're up next with Gerald McCoy. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Hey, Gerald. I was just wondering how is it different in college and the NFL with your how you work out and how you do those kinds of things. Are the workouts a lot tougher in the NFL or the workouts in college harder because you're younger players?
Do you mean lifting weights, John? What do you mean? What do you mean by working out?
I mean like in the weight room and on the field when you practice.
In college, I think it's a little. I think it's just you do it different ways. In college, it's okay to beat your players up. And, you know, a lot of colleges do it.
There's a lot of Rudies out there.
Right. You run your players ragged. In the league, this is such a tough league, and the season is so long, you can't do the same things and treat your players the same way you do in college. Not saying that people get treated bad, but there's different ways you can work guys out. And the workouts are not as hard in the NFL. So that's a lot of the reason why I say you have to be self-motivated. You have to work yourself out. You have to know your limits, but you also have to be able to say, okay, did I really get the workout in that I needed? Or am I just, you know, just going through the motions?
Yeah, blowing time.
And
yeah,
it's one
yeah.
of those things where you just have to, you know, you just have to know yourself.
When you look at you said you don't have your game plan yet. You haven't really, you know, been told how you guys are going to look at and attack the New Orleans Saints. But you've got the opportunity to beat a team that's not in first place. The Atlanta Falcons are actually in first place because they didn't have a bye week. Otherwise, you'd be tied for them for first place. But this is probably the most intense. Not that these first four games weren't intense for you, but I'm sensing a different intensity this week with you guys around the locker room when you're interviewing players and stuff. It just seems like you now know it's a division game. And it's almost like you ratcheted up another gear and a half or something like that.
The biggest game of the season is the next game on the schedule. That's how we feel. And the Saints is the next game on the schedule, so that's the biggest game of the season. It's always like that. The biggest game of the season is the next game on the schedule. And we're not going to do anything special because once you know, you put a team on a pedestal, then that's when you start making mistakes and, the Saints are coming into town. We know what the Saints can do. We know what the Saints are about. But we also know what we can do, and we have to go out there and play Buck football. And we're going to prepare the same. We've been preparing very well. We've been preparing hard, and we're going to do the same thing for the Saints.
That is Gerald McCoy. We got an open line, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, and 1-800-596-BUCKS. Gerald is a man of faith, and he likes to go to the good book to come back and get some inspiration. So we're going to hit that when we come back. It's always a little piece of inspirational Buccaneer radio that we love to do for you here on your Tuesday night. Don't forget, Aqib Talib tomorrow night. Josh Freeman, of course, with the Josh Freeman Show Thursday. And then Total Access, we'll have Cody Grimm coming in talking about that pick six as we get you ready for the Saints. It's Buccaneers Radio, and we're coming back right here on the Buccaneer Radio Network.
This is the Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
We are back at One Buck Place, the Gerald McCoy Show. We'll get to Gerald's inspirational moment in a second. We want to get one more caller in. Wants to talk a little bit about Warren Sapp, maybe taught you a spin move. Mark, how you doing? Appreciate the phone call, Mark.
Hey, Gerald, just want to say great job. You definitely, I'm sure Warren would be proud of you. Since you studied Warren, I was just wondering if you ever studied the spin move, because I used to was sat right in front in the seat where and watch Warren at the stadium, and I would always see him. That signature move of his was hit and spin, and that would set him break him free of the guy in front of him. He could get to the quarterback. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Mark.
Different I studied, moves. Yeah. He had so many different moves. He had some go-to moves that I'm trying to study, but everybody has their move. And I try and watch all of his, though. He got to the quarterback in so many different ways. I mean, it's crazy all the different moves he had. I mean, of course, he had his go-to moves, but then there was different ways he would get to the quarterback. And I sat down when I talked to him, and he would break down every sack he got from the film that I had. And he would say, well, on this play, I was thinking this. And on this play, earlier in that week, the coach said, if you want to beat a man, just pull him to the ground. So he would push and snatch a man down. I mean, there's a lot of different ways he got to the quarterback. And it's great to, you know, get to sit down and just hear him talk about how he would get there.
Well, Warren Sapp is one of your inspirations, but obviously the Good Book is another one of yours, and you love to use it for your inspiration on the field, so I'm going to let you take it from here.
Oh, you guys, you know, each week I have a scripture for the week, and my scripture for this week is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, and it's the reason I chose this particular scripture is it's kind of a personal thing this week. Usually I kind of go based off, you know, what's going on with the team or just kind of what's really been going on with me. Well, this week is actually personal. This is for me. I was drafted at a certain position. I was drafted for a reason. And so far I haven't got a sack yet. And when I go home, I always say, well, I'm getting to the quarterback, but every time I get there, he just, for some reason, just so happens to get the ball out right as soon as I'm getting it. I don't know why this is going on. So I go home, I say, well, God, I don't know, what am I doing wrong? You got to help me out. I don't understand why this is going this way or why this is happening. Well, this particular scripture kind of gave me, you know, peace of mind. And like I said, it's Proverbs 3. Verses 5 and 6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So what I got from that is you just got to relax and not think how you think things should go. How what the Bible says is God acts according to his will, not ours, and don't think about how I think it should be or how I want it to go. Let God have it. Let him handle it. He has a plan and he knows what he's doing and he doesn't make mistakes. And in everything I've done, I've always acknowledged the Lord and I've always given him credit for everything I've done. So I'm just going to continue to do that, walk with the Lord and let things fall where they may. Trust in the Lord always.
That is a good way to put it. You know, the funny thing is a lot of athletes will talk about, you know, like a hitter in a slump or a guy hasn't gotten a sack yet, right, or a guy is still waiting on his first interception. Ronda used to say they come in bunches.
Right.
He'd say, I go three or four games without a pick. Next thing you know, I got a three-pick game. And that's, I think, what's going to happen for you is you're going to have yourself a three-sack game.
Yeah, and they're coming. Yeah. They're coming, fans. And you guys have been so supportive. And, you've backed me and you stayed with me and nobody has given me any bad words or, you know, said anything evil to me. And that's great. That's, you know, that's why I'm really loving Tampa right now, because the fans are really supporting me right now and they believe in me. They said, Gerald, they're coming. We're not worried about that. We're 3-1. We're winning. You know, so I appreciate that. And like I said, they will come. And when they come, it's going to be a great day.
It's a good group of guys that you have on the D-line. There's a lot of different mixtures of talent in there, and it's kind of like a sauce. You're cooking it different ways. You're mixing and matching the first couple of games. I'm sure that Raheem Morris is looking at what's working for you guys in the pass rush and what, you know, kind of like, okay, we're going to cross that blitz off. They seem to have picked that up because, like I said, it wasn't like you were in Carson Palmer's face all the time, but on third down, when it mattered, several times, and you and Styles G. White happened to collide in the little head knocking, and if he doesn't collide with you, you get Carson Palmer. Right. With all those little things that are keeping you from getting that first sack, but I think it's really going to come. Now, last couple of seconds before we close up the show, you have a chance to take a young football team to 4-1 and beat the world champions. Did you think you'd be here in early October when you got drafted, looking to go 4-1 in first place for the Bucs?
This was our plan. We're not surprised by how well we're playing or where we're at. This was our plan. We knew we could do this, and we came together as a family, and we said, look, we can do this. Let's not be surprised when we play well. Let's not be surprised when we're 4-0 or 3-1 or we have a winning record. And let's not be surprised when we go out this Sunday and beat the Saints.
You know, I interview a lot of your teammates, and honestly, I've yet to run into a surprise guy.
Right.
I swear to God, up and down the line, both offensive, defense, special teams, kickers, you name it, this team believes in itself, and it's great to see.
It's great.
I know that was a quick 90 seconds at the end of the last of that game.
Right.
That was a quick hour. You just did another radio show.
Hey, we're rolling.
Way to go, 9-3.
All right.
It's coming,
that,
baby.
Man.
It's coming.
It's coming.
4-1. You got it. Everybody, appreciate the phone call. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we got Aqib Talib for an hour, Josh Freeman Thursday night, and Cody Grimm Friday night. Great lineup of Buccaneers Total Access shows coming your way, and we will wish our friends across the bay a victory tonight in Game 5. Go Rays. Everybody have a great night. You've been listening to Total Access right here in the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to The Gerald McCoy Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.